This is the Wonder Life Podcast, the voice for health and wellness. I'm your host, Andrea Ritter. We're so glad to have you.
Today's podcast is guest hosted by me, Bryn from Wonder.
Today on the podcast, we are joined by Melissa Jean of Tidy and Flourish. Melissa is a KonMari trained consultant who focuses on helping people spark joy in their life by tidying up. In this conversation, we talk all about how tidying can change your life, your relationships, and the way that you consume goods. This is a super interesting conversation, and I am so thrilled that we were able to have this. So enjoy the podcast.
So can you start by telling us what is tidying?
So yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to share this method. So tidying is a way to have everything in your home, everything in your life bring you joy. So that's very different from being organized. So traditionally we think organizing means, you know, everything is put away, everything looks really nice, you can find everything. Where tidying is a way of having this relationship with your belongings. So everything that you own is organized, but it also brings you immense amount of joy and it supports your vision and your ideal lifestyle. So traditionally we have a lot of things that maybe are from our past that aren't really serving our present or our future selves. So in tidying, we go through this process of thanking and letting go of everything that no longer is relevant in our current life and making space for those belongings that are truly taking us where we want to be. And living in the moment in gratitude is a big part of the tidying process. So caring for our items and appreciating them for the service that they do provide us. So that's what tidying is. And it's all focused on being in tune with what you own and appreciating the things that you have the pleasure of owning in this lifetime.
That's so wonderful. I love the idea of having a relationship with the items in your home and in your life and expressing gratitude. I feel like that's something we should all be doing more of. So how did you get involved and how did you become certified in the KonMari method?
Sure. So I got involved because back in 2015, I saw the book at the library and it was under one of those staff picks end caps. And it just caught my eye the way the book cover looked. It was very calming and had this peaceful aesthetic to it. And I was really drawn into that word magic. Like, what's that about? Like, what's this magic this book is conveying? So I read the book and what I loved about it, it was a very practical way to put into practice. You just follow the steps, you go in order and, you know, compared to other self-help books where it was like they can be very esoteric or just talking about your thoughts, the life-changing magic is all about like, okay, you're going to take action and do this process on your home. So I read the book and then I did it on my own belongings. And I really wasn't expecting too big of a result or a big change, but it really totally shifted my whole perception of how I view my stuff. And coming from, you know, an environmental background and being very passionate about, you know, the environment and eco-friendly and everything I owned had a very distinct purpose, which brought me joy. But as a whole, most everything I owned was all about practicality. And with reading this book, it allowed me to just view my things as being a way of bringing joy and that you could have something just for the joy of looking at it. And that, you know, it seems obvious now, but at the time, you know, when you have a very logical, analytical, I would consider myself a very just practical person, it seemed very foreign to me, like, oh, I can just have this because it's nice to look at. And so that really is just kind of what flipped for me. And then I started applying that to my life. So, you know, I wouldn't just do things because that would be the purpose of it. It was like, I just started enjoying things just for the joy of it. And so I had a great job working for the state and, you know, everything again was practical. It was a responsible job. It was good. It was a great job, but it wasn't life-giving or it wasn't super joyful for me to go to. It was just something that I did and it was convenient. And I thought I was making a difference, which I was. But when I did this process to my home, I was just like, I think there's something else out there that I should be doing. And I was a big fan of Marie Kondo for the gift she had given me. So I was on her email newsletter list. And then one day it just came in my inbox that she was training consultants. And I thought, oh, wow, that sounds really cool. Like you could help other people go through this process. And I wasn't in the mindset of, oh, I'm definitely going to do that. That's a career I want, or that's the next step. I was just like, oh, that'd be really cool to go to this training with a bunch of other, you know, people that are interested in the Kenmare method. Go for a week, you know, it was a 3-day weekend in Chicago, and I went and I met a bunch of amazing people. And I, again, wasn't caught up on the idea that I would be doing this, but I just thought it would be fun. And I was going again with that intuition of just go with what brings you joy or what you're attracted to. And so I went and I came back and I started doing some sessions, practice sessions with people in my town. And I just fell in love with it. And then I started doing on the weekends, and then I dropped my work down to part-time and did, you know, tidying for part of the week and my state job for the other half. And then it just was like, okay, I think I really want to do this full time. So it was sort of this really gradual transition out of what I was doing before into this now. And I would say it is the most beautiful unfolding of what I couldn't even have planned this. It's just been this beautiful unfolding of what I'm doing now. And so yeah, that's kind of, it all started with a free book at the library and put it into action. And here I am, and I couldn't be happier. I mean, it really has been a true gift to experience this transformation in my own life and now to help people to go through it themselves.
Yeah, that's amazing when something just starts to fall into place in your life like that. That's really fantastic. So for you, okay, I know a little bit because I watched the show and then I tried. So there are 5 steps to tidying, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What are those steps? And then what was the most difficult step for you?
Sure. So there's the 5 categories that you have that you go through in order. So you go through clothing, then you go through books, all of your paperwork, then miscellaneous, which is kimono, and that is everything else in your home, like the kitchen, bathroom items, you know, toiletries and dishware and linens and everything like that. So that's the bulk of the work. And then the last one is sentimental. So you save all of your sentimental items for the last category to tidy. But prior to doing any of that, you start with creating a vision or thinking through your lifestyle that you want to live. I would say for me, that was a bit of a challenge because it's, for me being very practical, it was hard to just dream big or think about things that I wanted to bring into my life. So I kind of struggled with that piece a little bit, but once I got it, I spent more time kind of visioning and thinking through, and then it helped the whole process. So I would say that was a little bit sticky for me. And then also the sentimental piece, some parts were easier than others. And I find that area is also tricky for clients as well. So those are the categories. And I found books to be the easiest just because, again, I'm a big proponent of libraries. I used to work at the state library. And so I know that it's always out there if you want to replace it or get it. And so for me, that was like a super easy category. But yeah, I think that sentimental really forces you to sit and reflect on your past and give gratitude for, you know, the life experiences you had, and also the trust and faith to know if you let go of some of these items, you'll create, you know, a lot more memories in your lifetime. You don't need to anchor yourself into a certain time and space by having the object. And I think that it can be a really beautiful transformation in people. And finding ways to truly honor sentimental items in your home that uplift you instead of putting them in a box in the basement. So really what I've learned to do is if it's something that has a lot of meaning for me is to really take care of it and bring it out of the back of the closet and put it on display. And if it doesn't warrant that level of cherishment, then it's probably something that isn't of that much value to you.
Yeah. So has this changed your habits as a consumer?
Oh, absolutely. So I've never been a big consumer just because I like to be super reduce, reuse, recycle. All of that has been a mantra of my life. And so I've never been a big consumer in that way. But I will say just even the joy of appreciating an item in the store or at a market and not feeling the need to own it. I think that's been the biggest shift for me. It's like I can just appreciate an item just by looking at it, but knowing that the joy is right there in that moment. I don't need to buy it, own it, and keep it. So I think that has been a great shift for me, because it's like you can be out and just appreciate the artware or the goods that are on the market, but not have to feel the need to possess it. Because there is that level of care that has to come along now with owning an item. It's not just something that sits in your house. It's something that you really have to take care of.
Yeah, I like that there's responsibility in that. And also the whole process sounds so cathartic and also just like a great experience probably for you as well, because you're always tangibly accomplishing something every time you're working with someone. Like there's a pile of things that you're giving thanks for that and you're moving beyond that.
Absolutely. And what I found to be the biggest reward is not just, I mean, you see that physical change, which is so powerful. And it really, I would say, what's so amazing is how little time it really takes. When we try to do this process on your own, and I don't know if this is something you experience, but you get the motivation to want to do it. But then when you actually get your hands in the pile of belongings, you get so distracted and feels like it would take forever. But when I'm working with people, it's like I'm there, I'm keeping them focused, and we can get through whole large amounts of items in just 4 hours. And the transformation in such a short amount of time, I think, is really motivating for people, because they realize, oh, this won't take forever. I just need to focus. And once they get the process down, it becomes easier. And so another thing that I just wanted to share is like, yes, it's so gratifying to see that shift, but it's the skills that they're learning in this process that is the life-changing part. So learning how to make a decision and stick to it and take action. And I think through this process, it really teaches people how to repeatedly take or make decisions. So if you did your clothes and you brought everything out, and that includes shoes and socks and, all the accessories that go along with our wardrobe, you might have hundreds of items, that includes jewelry. So if you have a big jewelry box, there could be over 100 decisions right there on, do I keep these earrings? Do I keep this bracelet? Is this bringing me joy? And all of that practice makes you so much sharper and more decisive. And so, and then in life, you take that skill with you. And instead of being in between this limbo state, you get really focused and clear on what it is that you want. And I think that is the biggest just change in people, is that instead of wavering, you're very clear. Yes, I want to do this, or no, I don't. And I love seeing that transformation happen in people.
Yeah, that's, we can all work on being more decisive and just clear on our, like, who we are, where we're going, what we're doing. Yeah, we all need that. So when you are working with clients that have kids, what's that like? What's that interaction like? And how do you see that change in kids as they're learning about gratitude and also to be decisive, like you said?
Absolutely. So one precursor I want to talk about with families is that oftentimes the mother of the household really wants is the one that's the proponent of like, let's get tidy. And I love that because, you know, she can really set the tone for the household if she's ready to do the work and get the whole family on board. But often what times it seems like is the mom is like, well, if I could just get my children to put their toys away, then I would feel relaxed and it wouldn't be as chaotic. And, you know, I could feel clearer. And that is true in a way, but a lot of times, it's an aesthetic look where if the mom could focus on her aspect first, like her belongings, and then model for the child and then teach the child what she learned, the long-lasting impact is, I think, goes a lot further. So anytime I can, if I could advocate for any of the moms out there to just take the time, you know, it might feel selfish, but to like focus on your own tidying first and then model that behavior of putting things away and that it's a fun process and then teaching your children, that's going to be the biggest, I think, success story for families. I mean, and it could come from, you know, anybody in the family who's really desired. I've actually had some younger folks who've come to me and I worked with them and then they've made the change that their family, their parents or other siblings got on board. So it doesn't matter who it is in the family, but if they're interested in it, they should do their own stuff first and then teach everyone else. So I'll start with that. And then the second point, as far as once they've done that, and then if, you know, bringing me on board or the whoever it is that's done the tidying can teach the children, what's really great is a lot of times they already know. Like, it's just asking them the questions and getting them involved. So I think oftentimes we're used to telling them like, oh, you've outgrown this. But if you've asked them, they most likely will inherently know, oh, that's a baby toy. I don't play with that anymore. So people, you know, kids as young as 5 or 6, if you ask them, you know, do you still enjoy playing with this toy, or is this your favorite toy still? A lot of times they'll say, no, that's a baby toy, and they're happy to let it go. And you can even say, oh, wasn't it nice that you got to play with these toys when you were younger? Could we pass this on to somebody else that could enjoy it? And they're mostly likely really excited to give that away because they know they've outgrown it. And it's the same thing with clothes. They'll be, if you allow them to just be honest with you, they will share that, you know, no, I don't really like these pants. You know, it's amazing their honesty. They're so honest. It's just us giving them the opportunity and asking them the right questions. Like, do you enjoy wearing these pants? And if they say no, honor that and trust that they're being, you know, real with their feelings. So it does allow them to let go easily. And I think more of the pattern, the habit that we have to work a little bit harder on with children is putting things back to their home. So teaching them, oh, this stuffed animal lives in this basket, and let's put the stuffed animal back in their home, and using that kind of language, and also making it fun, like, oh, it's cleanup time, more as a fun activity instead of a burden or a chore.
I think. Is there like particularly good language to use for adults instead of like, oh, this is the home for them? Because there are some people that are just utterly resistant to the idea of putting something in a place where it could live.
Sure. So I think this question ties back into their vision and what they're going for. So why they would want to do it and what are the benefits of them tidying? So once they're clear on, I want to put things away because the clear counter isn't chaotic and it allows me to focus more and relax more. If that's their reason, then that becomes, I'm putting this away because when I do this, it's self-care and I can relax. And inherently that's the benefit. It's not about I'm being tidy or I'm making things look nice for somebody else. It's like, yeah, they are, it's attached to their own benefit.
Okay.
And that's, yeah, why you can never like force a partner or force, you know, if say your dad, you go over and his house is, you know, sloppy or there's things around, like you can't force someone else to want to clean up. They have to know that they're going to get a lot of benefit from doing it. And so that's why I come back to you modeling how easy and, you know, carefree your life is by you having tidied, and how relaxed and calm your demeanor is. And then they start to get inquisitive if that's where they're at in life. You know, not everybody wants to live a very neat lifestyle, and that's fine too. This will draw in the people who are wanting to do the work.
So have you noticed with clients that there's a shift in their relationships as they move through this process?
Absolutely. So what's so lovely is when either I'm working with a family or couples or just one-on-one with somebody, you find more respect for your own belongings, and then you realize, oh, this unique, odd trinket for some reason just brings me so much joy. And to somebody else, it might be kind of goofy or silly. And you realize, like, oh, you know, we can't really, we don't know why some things make us happy and some things don't. They just do. You start to feel it in your body. It brings you a smile to your face. And I think once people realize that their joy is very unique to them, then they're not as critical of what their partner or someone else in their family tends to hold on to. So, right, I think we always get this feeling like you're critical of somebody else. Oh, they keep so many of this one item. But when you've done the tidying yourself, you realize, oh, who knows what brings people joy? It could be 50 pairs of shoes or, you know, baseball cards up to the ceiling. It doesn't matter really the amount. It's just that, oh, that just by having that collection or having this amount of things or this one thing in particular brings them so much joy, and they can see that because they've seen it for themselves. So I think that foundation of that understanding allows people to be so much more respectful in their relationships. So they realize, oh, this might make me happy going to this event, but not so much. My partner doesn't appreciate that. It doesn't bring them joy in that way. And then they're not as critical, like having to do things for other people. I mean, I hope I'm explaining that correctly, but, and yeah, that message absolutely coming through, but yeah, it's just taking the time for you to understand what makes your heart sing. And then you can be so much respectful of other people in your life that, hey, sometimes we share the same interests and sometimes we don't. And there's no need to be critical of what other people keep or what's important to them, because you know now that you've created your own vision of what's important to you. So I think that's a really big shift. And then also just when couples work together and they're doing their own tidying simultaneously, there's just this mutual support of, hey, we're creating this life that we want to live together. And they're also become very respectful of boundaries. So respecting each other's space. And I think that's another huge, beautiful benefit of this process, is that you become, you know, honoring each other's space with respect and love, I think too, just really loving and seeing and getting to know your partner more, like, oh, my partner is really into this. And that brings that person so much joy. And it's a self-awareness and a self-knowledge of you and whoever you're living with, if you're going through it at the same time.
That sounds like an amazingly therapeutic process.
Yes.
So, with regards to just the shifts that you see with people, it sounds like it brings more purpose and more meaning and like vitality to their lives. And it certainly sounds that way for you from your own experience.
Absolutely. What I love, and I think vitality really comes through the most when people are doing their paperwork. And I've had this time and time again where, you know, paper ends up everywhere. You get stacks of it. It's coming in through the mail. You're getting receipts. You know, even if you say, I don't want a receipt, like somehow you're getting all the paperwork coming in. Even in, you would be amazed too, even with like technology where you can get email emails, and that's a whole nother, digital clutter is a whole nother, could do a whole podcast on that alone. But it's amazing how paper still creeps in this advanced, you know, even where we are in today's technological environment. But that aside, you know, people make lists and make notes. And I think when people are forced to face that mound of paper all at once, they really truly internalize the fact that they are the ones kind of creating the storm. And it doesn't have to be said, it's just, you know, noticed by them going through each piece of paper and realizing, oh, I collected this paper from here. I thought I was going to do this project, or this seemed like a great idea, so I held on to it. And I think once people have gone through that and realized they're the ones who made the pile of paper, and they're also the ones that have the power to make it go away. And I think that's where it brings up so much an increase in vitality, because one person told me, they're like, I realize I'm the crazy maker. Like, I'm the one who makes the list. Like, no one's telling that person that they have to do all these things. Like, we do it to ourselves, but we don't really fully see it until it's all out in front of us. So, you know, wanting to go run around to 5 stores today is a choice that you put upon yourself, and you cannot do it, and you would be the only one who would know. And so I think that realization alone is so eye-opening. And that's why I say this whole perception on how you even view what is on your list can create so much vitality, because you wake up that day and you get to choose, does this align with my vision? Does this align with my values and my purpose in life? Or is it just busy work for the sake of like having a list? And I think that a lot, you know, really, again, with the KonMari process, you're forced to slow down and reflect and feel into your body with each item that you own. And once you get to paper, it's a stark realization that, hey, like, I don't have to do this list, really, like, that world won't end. And what am I leaving out that's even more important? Where's that like deeper meaning and purpose of these tasks? I mean, if you're on the path of like creating your lifestyle and those are the items, then each item would be like fun to do and contribute to your ideal lifestyle. But if it's just running around, causing stress, creating more paper and chaos, then it's a great time to kind of rein that in, reflect, and just like recapture that lost energy and give you more vitality, because you just realize like this stuff really isn't that important.
Yeah. Then take control of your life.
Yeah. And
live it. That's amazing. So yeah. Great. So if people want to learn more about what you're doing, do you have some resources and also like your website that they could reach out and get in touch?
Oh, sure. So my website is tidyandflourish.com, and there you can go and you can reach out to me. I have a list. You can reach me directly, phone or email. We can set up a time to chat if you just have questions about what is, you know, more in-depth questions about what the tidying process looks like and how long it takes and, you know, all this, those specific details. And on my website too, I also just share like if I'm doing workshops or speaking engagements or anything like that that are open to the public. KonMari, so www.konmari.com is another fabulous resource, obviously where it began. So Marie Kondo has a website where she has all kinds of information on, there's videos on there, there's ways, so I'm based in Oregon. I'm happy to travel for clients, but there's trained KonMari consultants all over the US and worldwide. So she's in many countries. So if you're hearing this in Colorado or Pennsylvania or anywhere, you can go on her website and find a local consultant in your area that would be happy to help you. We're all put through the same training and we all, you know, use the same method. So anything you would get from me, you'd most likely get from another trained consultant. And, you know, YouTube, I don't have any websites on YouTube, but there's a lot of great resources out there that show different folding techniques. That's something we didn't talk about. But if you're just someone who likes the folding, there's a lot of great videos out there for that. And I would also encourage you to look into your region's recycling program. So each county typically has a website for specifics on how to dispose of unwanted household goods. So as you're going through this process, a lot of times we find there's just a lot of trash or garbage or hazardous waste materials that have been in your garage that just have never been dealt with. And I think a big barrier is that people just don't know what to do with it. And I answer those questions with people that I work with. But if you're somebody that's doesn't have access to a consultant, I would just do a quick Google search of your county's recycling program so you can, you know, know where to take those fluorescent light bulbs, you know, how to get rid of like old things in your garage that's just taking up space. And I think that's a big portion of this process too. So that would be another great resource for people to research and find out, and then take it when they have the knowledge, then they can take action.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I'm glad that you brought that up. And I will make sure that I link to your website and the KonMari one as well in the notes. And thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. And I really appreciate your time. And I hope everyone will go out and do a little tidying and spark a little joy in their life.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Well, thank you again.
Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. Please light us up on social at Wonder Health, and that is Wonder with a U. For more information on the topics we discussed, go to wonderhealth.com. Subscribe on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen, and please share with your friends. Go out and shine your light and transform this world.